ladies and gentlemen. This is Rob with Shut Up and Grind, and I have music in my ears for some reason. Why is that? Okay, we'll just shut that one off. All right, sorry about that. It's episode number 299 of Shut Up and Grind. We're all about defying the obstacles, overcoming obstacles, defying the odds, and helping you clear whatever is blocking your path from the success that you want in this life. So if you're new to the show, please like. If you're catching this on the podcast platforms, we're on all of them. So please download, because each week I bring in guests from all over the world to talk about you becoming the best version of yourself and how to step into your greatness using your life stories. So today we're going to be talking about fitness, about wellness, about building strength beyond the gym. And helping me have this conversation is Billy Richards. Hello, sir.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Let's try this again. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. So before I get into that, I'll go where I just came from. I literally, right before this, just got in like 2 weeks ago. I drove back from Virginia, which was the final destination of where I was. So I just got done doing a little 2 week charity thing. So I did a Spartan Trifecta weekend around the 16th or 17th, whatever the dates of that weekend was. Yep. And then as soon as that was over on Sunday, Monday started a stretch of 11 marathons in 11 states in 11 days. So I did this carrying a 35-pound pack and an American flag, and I did it all to raise money for a charity called Operation Vest. So what they do is they fund counseling services for veterans. So that's basically where I was at. I drove the entire thing because the rental car expenses, everything else like that, though, so I'd rather have my own car. So I'm based out of Long Island, New York. So the way this ended up working out was I drove 15 hours down to Atlanta, then did the Spartan Trifecta weekend there, then drove 10 hours west from Atlanta to Texas. And then the way the series was set up, it went Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi, Florida Panhandle, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, West Virginia, Virginia. So each place I hit got me like one state closer to home anyway. And then by the time I got done with Virginia, it was a 9-hour drive back. So the race series ended yesterday, and I got up early. You know, I stayed there overnight and then got up real early and drove back. And for those of you that don't know, like a full marathon is 26.2 miles. So I did that 11 days in a row, in addition to a Spartan Trifecta weekend. So the Spartan Trifecta weekend actually had four different race heats. You know, a trifecta is when you do a beast, a super, and a sprint within one calendar year. So a beast is 13.1 miles. A sprint is, a beast is 13.1 miles. A super is 6.2 miles, and a sprint is 3.1. So Saturday had a beast and a sprint, and then Sunday had a super and a sprint. So all in all, I did about 313.5 miles over a 13-day period.
Wow. and that was to raise money.
Yes. So I mean, the link's still live. I haven't shut it down yet. I raised about $2,000 so far. So you know.
And so you ran all of those with a 35-pound weight?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I walked a lot of it because it's a lot of weight over a lot of distance.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I managed to get through them all. So, you know, a little banged up, but I made it back okay. And yeah, I kind of misplanned everything. Well, I didn't really misplan it, but, like, as far as, like, getting home. But yeah, I ran it. There were a couple of accidents on like I-95 that kind of slowed things down. And, you know, I got here like with 2 minutes to spare. So here I am.
Wow. All right. So let's go back to your childhood. How would you describe that?
Okay. So my childhood, you know, it was okay. And then when I was about 13 years old, my parents got divorced. And, you know, I used to be like the short, stocky kid. I had a late birthday, so I'm a December kid. So like for me, I was always youngest one in my grade. I got picked on a lot, you know, I get thrown in the lockers, all this other stuff, you know. And then somewhere along the line, I just got tired of it, and I was inspired by a bunch of action movies. I used to I don't really watch it anymore, so I'm not current to up to date, but I used to watch pro wrestling a lot as a kid.
Oh yeah, and I like, did too.
And then you know, so that was like around the early to mid 90s era. So like you have like Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, and then later on you had Steve Austin, The Rock, like all those guys. So I kind of looked up to those guys and everything, and it kind of inspired me to start working out. And, you know, like around, it was 1995 when I first started training. I was 13 years old. And that was around the time frame where, like, you only went to the gym for one thing, and that was just to get as big as you could.
Yep.
You know, so I was dedicated. It was also the no pain, no gain era. So, you know, I learned a lot from, like, people on the gym floor and everything. And, you know, my uncle also helped out. He gave me a couple of bodybuilding books and stuff like that. So, you know, that that pretty much got me into working out. And as I got more and more physically fit, like, I decided I graduated high school in 99. And from 1999, I decided to go into the Marine Corps. So I ended up spending 4 years in the Marine Corps. Then I had a 6-year break. Then I did 3 years in the Army. And, you know, now I work as a personal trainer. And I actually had two stints as a personal trainer. So I was a personal trainer in between the Marine Corps and the Army. And then I was a personal trainer again, like after I got out of the Army. And during my Army time, I actually got into running endurance events and stuff like that. I didn't really have a prior running background, like prior to the military. I just kind of got into doing, you know, doing the running and stuff then. And when I was during my second term of service, I was in the process of going through, I didn't get all the way through it though, but I was in the process of going through special forces training, and we were in between phases, and a bunch of my friends wanted to do this Army birthday run. So I hopped on it, I enjoyed it, so then I decided to do more. So I pretty much, you know, the Army birthday run was a 10 miler. So we went away for training for like 3-4 weeks for this leadership course. And then we went into language training where we had weekends off. So during language training, I started to get into more events. So I did a 10K and then went straight for a marathon.
Wow.
And, you know, I was originally going to run the marathon with a friend, but it was scheduled for, you know, the marathon was on a Sunday. And we got a text from our cadre leadership saying that we had a 12-mile road march that got canceled and rescheduled for Monday. So my friend bailed on it because he didn't want to get dropped from the course, but for me, some reason, I thought I could do it. And I just went ahead, I ran the marathon, and then the next day I had to do a 12-mile road march. And somehow I still pulled it off and was in the top percentile of the class. But while my pack was getting weighed, you know, one of my friends goes to me in front of the cadre. He's like, "Damn, dude, didn't you just run a marathon?" And the cadre overheard it, and he wasn't really too happy with me. So, you know, he goes to me. He's like, "Wait, a stop." He's like, "Wait, stop. A half or a full?" So I'm like, "Oh, a full marathon, Sergeant." And then he just lit me up. He's like, "You know what? Don't even do push-ups. Just stand over there. You probably enjoy it too much." I ended up finishing both, and you know, it kind of set the tone. Like while I was in language training, I did I ended up doing 7 marathons, you know, and then I got out for a little while, or then after a little while I got out. So I got out in 2012. I was kind of lost. I didn't really have like a goal, ambition, drive. I mean, I got back, you know, I went to college, for personal training again. It was pretty much just using my GI Bill, doing security at night.
Yeah.
You know, but then something clicked and I just needed something to kind of give me goals again. So like in 2013, I got back into the endurance events, and that's pretty much like where I discovered Spartan.
Okay. And, let me pause you there. Let me pause you there because you unpacked a lot. So let's dissect some of it.
So
you did 11 marathons in 11 days with 35 additional pounds on you. Was there some point in there where you were like, "This sucks"? And how did you will yourself through it?
Day one. So I had just gotten through like the Spartan Trifecta weekend, so I was already sore. And the company I did this through was a company called Mainly Marathon. So they're pretty much set up for like your marathon maniacs, your 50 staters, who are the people that are like, they have a goal of getting a marathon in all 50 states. So what this company will do though is they'll set up marathons like in bordering states, like on consecutive days. So it makes it a little bit easier for people to get one in all 50. But you know, there's no time limit, so there's all sorts of people doing it. You know, you have everyone from your super fit people to your people that just want to be able to like do events, but they might not be fast enough to do like a regular, you know, like a big city marathon. And then you know, the courses are pretty practical, so like they'll pick like some random park. And the majority of the courses, what they would do, they would put a cone at a 1.1 mile mark. So you'd have an out and back that was 2.2 miles long, and you would have to do it 12 times to get a marathon.
Oh boy.
So, you know, on top of the 26.2 mile distance, you know, you could put, you know, like a drop bag with food and stuff at the start finish area. But on top of it being 26.2 miles, there's the monotony of going out and back over and over and over again. Mm. And then some courses, like the one in Louisiana, because it was a short one, we had to do 22 laps to get a marathon. Wow. And
did a full marathon?
Yeah, they were all full marathons. All 11 of them.
Oh, I thought you said half. I thought so. So you did a full marathon 11 straight days after doing the Spartan Trifecta weekend. That's insane.
Yeah, so each one of those days was a full marathon. Yeah. So walking with the pack on, it took me about 9 to 9.5 hours each day, with the longest one being about 10 hours and 15 minutes. And that was the one on the Panhandle in Florida. Because I also have a bad hip, and I'll get into that a little bit though, because I messed my hip up attempting a world record a few years ago. But there was the monotony of going out and back. And the first one was in Beaumont, Texas, and Texas has some wicked winds. So carrying the flag plus the 35-pound pack plus an out and back where you know you're going into the wind one direction and with the bad hip, I was in severe pain that first day. But I just kind of put my head down and just kept going one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
And then eventually over time, I got through it. And then I was debating whether or not I was going to come back out for the next day, but I already dropped the money on the series. So I'm like, all right, I'll do the next day. So the next day was the one in Louisiana where it was that mental game where it was like, it was an out and back, and it was around a lake. So basically, if you're familiar with a washer style loop, it's where you go out one direction and back the other.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So if it's 22 out and backs, that meant that we did the circumference of the lake 44 times.
Jeez.
So yeah, it was just out and back around that lake, and that was a big mental one. And not only that though, but it had it was paved, but it was kind of broken up. So like anything where there's like some weird texture to the ground, it kind of jars my hip a little bit. So I was in pain like from the first minute on. And again, I just kept putting one foot in front of the other and just kept moving and moving and moving. And then after that, we were in Mississippi, and that was along the shoreline. It was it was completely exposed to sun. So I got all sunburned. My nose is probably still peeling from that, but you know, like I got all sunburned and everything. And then by the time I got to the afternoon, the wind kicked up. So I had like the revenge of the wind again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like going throughout it, there was only a couple of days where it rained, so it wasn't like too terrible. But for the most part though, once I got about four or five in, all of a sudden something hit in my head clicked that I could potentially do this. And then all soreness just went away, and I just got locked in, and just, you know, it just changed my drive to where it's unstoppable. And I'll tell my clients this all the time though too. You know, like if you find something, you have to be able to complete it, but you have to be able to barely complete it. You know what I'm saying? So if you grab like an epic level task that you think you may or may not finish or whatever, and you get through it, it's one hell of a confidence booster though. So it definitely like amps you up. It definitely, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like I tell people to, like with the Spartan Beast, because you know, like for us, I mean, I'm in the Northeast too. I'm in Rhode Island, and you know, the Spartan Beast is the first one up on on the books for us. And I was like, just start with that one, then everything else is downhill. You know, because like if you start with a sprint, like if you're brand new to the sport, no matter which one you start with, it's going to seem hard. So it's like if you get through the toughest one, then it's all downhill from there. But I get what you were saying. When I did the 2018 South Carolina Ultra, and okay. let me tell you, by mile 17, like my legs were like lead, like absolute lead.
I did the 2018 South Carolina Ultra, actually.
Oh, you were there. Okay.
I was the guy flying the whole time. I don't know if you saw me around there.
Possibly, because I see people with flags every race I do. But
I was fast. I finished it in like 6.5 hours. This is before I hurt my hip, obviously.
Oh, yeah. But no, I think it took me 11 and a half.
But, yeah, I actually finished with enough time to go out for a beast loop and was registered. But then I didn't want to keep my friend waiting, and my friend ended up finishing after dark anyway, so I probably could have pulled it.
Oh, my God.
I ended up going out doing the beast and the sprint on Sunday, too. So.
Wow. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I like it, though. I like it. But, like, what people don't realize with these races, too, they're like the ultimate metaphor of life. Because it's like you're going through hell. You're getting hit with all the elements. You got challenging obstacles. Sometimes it's pouring rain, and you're up to your shins in mud. But you keep going. You keep going. Like, when people get thrown curveballs in just everyday life, they give up. You know, they just give up. But when you're out there on that course, it's like quitting is never an option. And I love that environment and the positivity that the races bring.
Oh, yeah. And also, too, there's a lot of support out there. Like, you know, people encourage you and everything, though. It's a good community.
Yeah,
you know, awesome. And even outside of it, though, like the mainly marathon people that I got the chance to meet, a lot of them, like this week, all your marathon maniacs and stuff. Yep. Those people are extremely supportive too, though. They're amazing people. Like every time, you know, because it's an out and back, you're constantly passing. So, you know, there's a lot of times you get to sit and talk to people and everything. Everything's positive. Everyone's encouraging. You know, it's a great environment to be in. So.
Absolutely. So, what's next on the race menu for you?
Believe it or not, just a couple of 5Ks this weekend.
Just a couple. That's too funny.
Yeah, so right. I'm pretty much continuing with the pack and everything. You know, I used to run with the pack all the time. Yeah. until I ruptured my bicep tendon in 2016 at a Tough Mudder, but then I kept it up with the regular races and everything, and then 2018 I cut it out to kind of save my joints a little bit, but then I brought it back earlier this year.
Yeah. All right, so let's shift to fitness. All right, so how long have you been in doing personal training?
Since 2005, on and off.
Okay. So. Nice. And like, what's your style?
I'm like a jack of all trades. I prefer like the functional, like you know, like boot camp style of training.
Yeah.
But I can do a little bit of everything. So right now I don't have too much of that. I'm pretty much doing like one-on-ones and, you know, but.
Gotcha. Yeah, I prefer the groups. It's like I do some one-on-ones, yeah. But I don't really push it. Although I'm into training track athletes now. Like I coach indoor and outdoor track here at a local high school. And there's so many athletes at a track meet. And it's like, especially in this area, there is nothing dedicated to training track athletes. So we're trying to co-brand this place as a place where track athletes can come in and train. Because, I mean, I love basketball too, but track is my sport. Like I can stay at a track meet all day long, you know. And, you know, training the athletes, like they're training for something. I mean, I love training the adults too. Don't get me wrong.
I definitely for sure prefer athletes. I mean, yeah. I used to do a lot of stuff at the track independently.
Yeah.
But usually like when I would train people up at the track, it would be for people that were like going to boot camp or, you know, like somebody that was training for like the police force and everything like that. Yeah. Because I have people that train for like first responder tests and stuff like that. I don't have any currently.
Yeah.
But usually if there's a class picking up, people might contact me and then they'll be like, hey, I need to get my run time down, or I need to get my push-ups up, or I need to get my sit-ups
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So see, like, and somebody with like with like a goal in mind, like outside of just losing weight and toning up. You know what I'm saying? And
Yes,
even if they
speaking my
lose weight,
language.
even if they want to lose weight and tone up, I'll usually kind of twist their arm a little bit, and before you know it, they're doing Spartans and stuff like that, though. So, you know,
Yep.
but yeah,
Exactly.
it's well, because also too, though, like you know, like anybody that's training for looks has a finite point, but then the person doesn't realize that once you get that look, you still have to maintain it. You know, so like, you know, because well, there's nothing wrong with training for like losing weight and toning up, but once you get to that point, you need like a reason to kind of like maintain that. And a lot of times, even if you just get somebody just running like 5Ks and stuff like that, it gives them a goal like outside of just the weight loss, outside of just the aesthetic thing. So now they're actively engaged in something, so they have a reason to continue. Because you know, if you get your person that's like training for a wedding, for example,
Yeah.
half the time their wedding and they're like, man, screw that, I got to where I need to go. But then once they stop, they gain all the weight back, and then they're like, well, I can't figure, you know, it's like, dude, well, gotta keep going.
Yeah,
Lifestyle.
absolutely. Like here we have big whiteboards up, and each month we have a different focus, you know, for the exact same reason that you said. It's like when people give me vague goals, I'm like, if you give me a vague goal, you're gonna give me vague effort. It's like if you give me a specific goal, then now I can push you toward that specific goal. Because say, just to say I want to be healthier, like if you're not drinking enough water, if the next day you drink enough water, you're technically healthier. You know, so like that's a very, very vague terminology. So I'm like, all right, you want to lose weight? How much weight? Why? What will that do for you? And just get down to the heart of why they walked in the door. And then that person, I can help
they
transform.
Don't why I'm going to continue, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of, and then you get some people where they want to get in shape, but they don't know what they want to do. And it's like, well, I
Yeah.
can't help you to give me a direction. And they're like, well, you're the professional. You tell me. And it's like, well, you
I hear that too.
no, I'm just a guide. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, I can't give you like a program if I don't know what you want to do, because everybody, you know, you can't train. You, if you have 10 people, you can't train all 10 of them the same way unless they have the same, you know, unless they have the same goal. Cause like, you know, everyone's got what they want to do. You know, if you, you know, like if you don't have a goal, I'm just going to train you to be Superman. You know, it's like,
Yep. Oh,
it's yeah. And then see on the, this way, I do get why you like the groups better though, too, though. Cause when you start getting a lot of the one-on-ones, you know, like you start getting the people, there are people out there that just want a workout buddy, and like, they don't really have a direction, just keep paying you to train with them. And
Yeah.
sometimes it's good, like if you need a little mental break, but at the same time though, you're just training somebody that's like a buddy, they just become your friend. And even though you've told them, you know, they'll come back to you. Oh, well, this guy told me. It's like, well, I told you that too. Why didn't you listen to me? You know what I'm saying though? So like, if you start becoming like too friendly, sometimes they don't take you as seriously. And then they'll hear the same thing that you tried to preach to them from somebody else, you know?
So true. Just like that meme. That's out there. If you're not getting results, try doing what your trainer said the first time. And it's
yeah.
so true.
Then they forget what you said the first time, and then they read it somewhere. Well, it says here that it's like, dude, I told you that already.
See that, and I heard another quote too, that the results that you're looking for is in the work that you're avoiding. Like what I tell my clients here is, I'm not here to give you what you want. I'm here to give you what you need. So like, you tell
yeah.
me what your goal is, and then I'll give you the blueprint to get there. But they're like, oh, well, I don't like to run. I don't like kettlebells. I'm like, I didn't ask you what you like. Again, I said, you know, this is not an entertainment complex. I was like, I've trained thousands of people, and thousands of people have gotten results. It's like, you know, what works in this facility for us, for my style of training, like it works, you know? And so it's like, why are you
yeah.
not gonna take my advice? I'm telling you, if you do this, you can get that result. But getting people to understand that is tough sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. So what, like, tell me a good transformation story that one of your clients got with you.
Let me think of one real quick. I mean, like most, well, not so much transformation though, but like, what did my client, I guess Sean, for example. Yeah, Sean was a shy kid. Like, he hasn't gotten anywhere weight-wise recently because he works as a chef. So he's he's the worst kind of a chef because he's a saucier. So he's constantly tasting sauce all day. So, you know, I can't get him to put the spoon down.
Yes.
But rather than just focusing on the weight loss, I got him running like half marathons and marathons and stuff like that, though. So like it kind of, you know, I picked his confidence up. I gave him something to look forward to. And, you know, I've been training him since 2015. So like with him, it was more like a mental shift. Like he needed somebody to get him to go to the gym and everything. And now all of a sudden he runs on his own and everything. And he's pretty much gotten like self-sustainable. So he trains me once a week just for guidance, you know, but for the most part, that's one of the things I like to do though. Cause like also from like a business perspective as a one-on-one trainer, I like to get I would rather have like 30 or so clients that train with me once a week versus 10 clients that train 3 times a week. Okay. Mainly because like if three to four people go on vacation, I'm not screwed.
Thanks. That's funny.
Because like that summer in August kind of gets rough sometimes. But yeah, I like to build a lot of autonomy. I mean, I do have my clients that do come in multiple times a week too, you know. But for the most part, you know, I like to see people get better at things, and that's what I like to train people for. Not so much like the weight loss. I mean, I did have one lady that kind of like went over the top and got kind of obsessed, but ended up having to cut her loose. But she lost 100 pounds with me.
Awesome.
And it was a very inspiring story until she got kind of, you know, stage 5 clinger, and then she, you know, got in worship mode, and at that point I had to cut it loose.
Yeah.
You know, because that happens sometimes, you know, but and it's very unfortunate too. But for the most part though, like a lot of people I get them to like accomplish like big things and everything. Like I had a client, Miley. You know, I still train her. She's got a couple of injuries she's working with, but I got her running Spartan races and everything. And when she first started training with me, she looked like the black. You ever see the Drew Carey show?
Oh, a long time ago.
All right, so she looked, you know, so like she looked like a black-haired version of Mimi.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, and I don't know how it happened. I don't know if it was from watching me on social media or just through the prod, but all of a sudden she went from that to being like this badass wearing bandanas and like running sandbags up and downstairs, you know, like just completely like motivated, like ready to go. And the first race I got her to do was Tuxedo. I wasn't there at that one, but I did run the first Tough Mudder with her that she did. So, you know, that kind of inspired her and everything. Yeah. And then she's done Palmerton. She's done Killington, you know, so she's done some of the tougher ones and everything though. So, you know, it kind of built her confidence up and everything and, you know, got her, you know, really riled up and into fitness. So, you know, she's somebody that kind of, you know, like good transformation story and everything.
Awesome. Yeah, like getting people to buy into a Spartan race. Sometimes, you know, some people takes a little more coaxing than others, but there's countless stories of people who came to me just completely untrained. I can go back to 2013, this woman, Heidi, she walked in the door and she looked like she was going to the club. You know, the way she was dressed, I'm like, you are aware this is a gym, right? And so she comes in and we're doing the warm up, we're doing push ups, and I was like, all right, down easy. I'm like, now come back up. And she could not come back up, like she was just stuck. And I don't know if you've heard of FitRanks. So it was a fitness testing system that came out in 2013. So like I bought into it, and this woman, Heidi, after a couple years, so there were 7 different levels of tests to do, and level 7 is obviously the hardest. And she was the first one out of the 1,000 people that have gone through who passed level 7 on her first shot. You know, because like you actually have to film it, and you have to send it to the guy who created it he looks it over and decides if you pass or fail. But she went from not being able to do a single push-up to getting her pro card in a WBFF show, fitness competition. And she went on to be the first one to pass that test in the first shot. Like, it's from that first day, like,
Yeah,
like some people, I can look at them, I can be like, you know what, they got it. It's like, I'm gonna pull that dog out. It's in there. But with her, I didn't get that initially. I was like, this chick is prissy. You know, like, she is super, super prissy. But after a couple months, she started catching fire. She started popping out a bicep line. And then she just went all in from there. It was like such amazing to watch that.
Yeah, I had this other client, Pam. She was a prior athlete, then she turned into a mom, and then she got kind of out of shape, and she just wanted to get back in shape so she could do volleyball again and everything. And then it took maybe about a year or so of training, but then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she was a last minute add-on. I referred her to a physical therapist I see, you know, because I do physical therapy mainly for maintenance, and now that I'm hurt, and I'll still got to get into that story later. But she went from being somebody that just wanted to get in shape to she had to fill a last minute spot in a run team to out of nowhere, she went out and she finished a JFK 50 miler.
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. So, you know, I mean, that in that race, I mean, it's not terrible, but like the first little part of it's on the Appalachian Trail. It's like a single trail spot. So that one's got a tight cutoff. But then after that, it's not like it's a pretty technical 50 miler in the beginning. And then there's a marathon on a towpath that's next to a canal. And then it goes like about 8 miles through the town. And then it finishes though. But it's, I think it's the world's oldest, or not the world's. I'm sorry, the U.S. is like oldest ultra marathon or something like that. Wow. But she went to the point where she just wanted to be like, she was pretty much like a soccer mom that wanted to get in shape. And then she ended up finishing an ultra marathon. And now she's doing like triathlons and all this other stuff, which is pretty much why she's not training with me, because I work at a gym. Yeah, she still consults with me about like nutrition and stuff like that here and there, but for the most part though, like, she's been working a lot more on the swim and stuff like that.
Yeah, see, excuse me, that's like my target. That's my target market. It's like, you know, moms who were former athletes of whatever, you know, whether you're a runner, whether you play basketball, soccer, like, just because that former athlete is still inside you. It's like,
oh, training. No, it never leaves. They still have that.
Leaves. Yes.
Not only that, but they still know what it takes. Like, you don't have to like sugarcoat anything or kind of like, you know, yeah, what I'm saying? They know what they have to do. It's just a matter of cracking the whip and getting them going again.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Because people who are sedentary and they're looking to get into fitness, like, if they've been out of shape their whole life, they don't know what being fit feels like, you know? So they're not rushing.
They're the type that it's like, oh, it's just genetics, or that person was born that way, or he's lucky. It's like, no, well, you can get to like a certain level too. You just have to put in the work. I mean, that's all it's about, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, believing that you can. And people say, oh well, you don't understand because you're fit. I said, yeah, but I was overweight one time.
Yeah, we all came from somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Nobody, you know, unless you're like the child of like a professional athlete or something that was constantly pushed as a kid, nobody like popped out of the womb like being able to like deadlift 600 pounds, you know? So, yeah, we all came from somewhere, you know? Like, I mean, I was like, when I was 13, like before I started, you know, I was like the lazy kid. I never did anything. I sat and watched TV and ate Doritos, you know, and then it took a divorce and getting picked on and everything. And, you know, out of nowhere, I just got tired of just being a little pushover stocky kid and, you know, just started working out, and I just never looked back. So
I want to expand on what you just said, because that is key. What you said, I just got tired of. And like when people come to me with the vague goals, I was like, I don't let them join unless they tell me up front that they're committed. I'm like, this is what it's going to take. I'm like, you have to be tired of where you are. If you're tired of where we are, I can push you to where you want to be. But if you're not fed up, you're not going to stick with this.
Exactly. Well, there's got to be a drive, though, because, I mean, most people that, like, come to a gym that are looking to make a change, they're not looking – they're – okay, the reason they give you might be they want to look better, but there's always something underneath.
Oh,
either
yeah.
Somebody pushed them to do it, or they got tired of something, or you know, like, even if you know, like, there's always an underlying reason. It's never to look better. You know,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They got tired of getting picked on, you know, and especially, like, you know, when people get older, like, sometimes they just want to be alive to see their grandkids, or, you know, like, there's always an underlying reason. And, you know, if the trainer doesn't know that, they don't know, like, how to push them, you know, like, sometimes it may take a while to uncover that, you know, but without knowing that why, you don't really have a reason, you know, so.
Exactly. See, and then, and in knowing that, as the trainers, we can remind them of that when they have those days where, like, I'm not sure if I'm going to come tomorrow. Like, well, didn't you say you want to do XYZ? They're like, yeah, you're right. See you tomorrow. You know, so
yeah.
Having that info is key.
Yeah. So, I mean, because without that underlying info, like, you don't know, like, what they want to do. You know what I'm saying? It's there has to be that drive to get them going. So, you know,
yeah.
Without that underlying why, you know, it's like if you don't have a why, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, if you just want to, because anybody can tell you they want to lose weight and tone up, but why do you want to do it? You know, what's the reason?
Exactly.
You know, do you want to, like, get back to, like, fit into your wedding dress from, like, 20 years ago? Or do you want to, like, live to see your grandkids? Or do you, I don't know, even if you're just looking to, like, improve your confidence and, like, pick up girls at the beach or something like that. You know, there's always some kind of why, you know, so.
Yeah, you got to go at least 4 or 5 layers deep. You know, when they'll always give you the surface answer. Yeah, lose weight, tone up. I must hear that, you know, 100 times a month. You know, it's when I lose weight and tone up. And I'm like, I need to know exactly what it is you want. I say, because I can tell you, with me, I'm a competitor. I do obstacle races. I run track and field. I play basketball recreationally. Like, I'm an athlete. I'm going to be turning 50 this year. And I want to keep being able to compete with people half my age. It's like, that's why I go to the gym when I don't feel like it, because I have to maintain my athletic ability. You know, it's not even so much for the physical look. It's for what I can do. And I put that into my trainings. I tell people, whatever your physical goals are, let's focus on performance. Because as your performance gets better, the physical is going to take care of itself.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely, though. Because, well, the hardest part about, like, you know, because performance should always come first. Because the hardest part about, like, the number on the scale is the number on the scale changes.
Yeah.
And there's so many variables behind it, you know, because, like, you can drink a pound of water, but did you get fatter?
Yeah.
No, you drank a pound of water, but it's going to show up on the scale that you're a pound heavier.
Yep.
You know, so there's, like, so many different variances, though, too. And especially, like, you know, like little thing, though, especially, like, somebody's doing, like all these, like, crazy diets and stuff like that. But, like, let's say you take somebody that does an Atkins diet, and then they slip and they eat a sandwich, and all of a sudden they're 10 pounds heavier. You know, and it's like, all right, well, do you realize that every gram of glycogen that gets stored inside your muscles, you gain about 3 grams of water? So, you know, and your body has a super compensation effect when you deplete. So now that sandwich caused you to gain 10 pounds, not because you gained 10 pounds of fat, but because you were completely depleted, and then you replenished everything. You know, so, like, there's little things, you know, there's little things like that. And, you know, there's so many different variances, you know, like, that's the way I don't really even, like, I mean, for myself, I'll spot check the scale all the time, but I'm aware of, you know, like just for, you know, studying for variances and stuff like that though. But like for clients and stuff, I try to like have them avoid the scale and everything, you know, like make them like pay attention to how their clothes fit or, or kind of performance measure, like you said, like, you know, like, cause if they get better, the weight loss will be a byproduct of that. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like a side effect almost, you know? So. Absolutely.
Yeah. Going back to the goals, like when I first got to this gym, I think I started here in July, I want to say.
Yeah.
By October, the owner gave me full reign of the operation. And so I started asking people, you know, like, what are you working towards? What are you working towards? And everyone's like, I really don't know. Like, you know, it's like, I gotta say, my clientele, like, they're mostly, whoa, I lost him. Okay, he's back. There you are.
Is that me or you?
I think it was you.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, because you vanished and then you came back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I live on Long Island. The Wi-Fi is not that great here.
All right. So I was saying, I was going around asking people about their goals, and nobody had them. So I took one of the big whiteboards and I just wrote everyone's name down. I'm like, pick something. People pick pull-ups. People pick push-ups. You know, I want to decrease my mile time and so on and so forth. But now having that info, I built up the workout programs so that every class addressed, well, maybe not every class, but addressed something that was up on that board to get people to do the things that they want to do. Then the next month we focused on deadlifts, like not so much maxing out, but just getting people to increase their deadlifts. You know, then the next month we picked something else. And this month we're doing the cardio machines, the skier, the assault bike, and the rower. And then next month, what we're going to be doing, pull-ups and kettlebells. You know, so just each month, you know, they have a different focus, so they're not just worried about the scale. It's like, yeah, maybe you only lost 2 pounds, but you went from doing an eighth of a pull-up to doing a full pull-up. Like, that's definite progress.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, so, oh, wow, time flies. All right, yeah, you said earlier, talk to me again about the charities.
Okay, so, well, right now the one that I've currently been working with is Operation Vest. They provide funding for counseling services for veterans with the goal of ending veteran suicide. And there's actually a story about that. So in 2016, and I didn't even know this, the guy that runs the organization, I bumped into him last year because he was a race director for this race called the 2.2 mile run and plunge. And it was called 2.2 miles because every day there's an epidemic where 22 veterans commit suicide. So 2016, I did this 22-day 22 push-up challenge. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah,
and stuff like that. So I did this challenge, and this guy was following me on Instagram, and it inspired him to do it. The only difference is he didn't stop. So since 2016, I think he's closing in on about 3,000 days of push-ups.
Wow.
So ever since then, he's been doing 22 push-ups a day, and he became known as the push-up guy. And he's the one that started up this organization called Operation Vest. And I was randomly talking to him, and he's like, you know, you're the one that inspired me to get all this started. And it just kind of blew my mind because, like, I never expected it to have that kind of an impact on somebody. So, and all it really was to raise awareness, and, you know, cause awareness is important too, you know, like, you know, so for something like that to happen, you know, just as like an awareness booster versus like a fundraiser, like, it just kind of blew my mind that, you know, I can like motivate someone to start that. Yeah. So I came back and kind of surprised him because he never expected me to come out and volunteer to raise money for him, especially to do something like this epic. So I think he's still in a state of shock. But
that's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, that's the underlying reason, one of the underlying reasons why I decided to help him. You know, and I also I also try to give back here and there. The last couple of years, I haven't gotten the opportunity to, you know, because, well, COVID kind of messed things up, and one of the organizations I used to work with closed up shop during COVID because the owner moved to Tennessee. You know, because originally I used to go out and do stuff to raise money for this group called boots on the ground. So yeah, for them, sure. Yeah, it's not the one you think. They're local to Long Island, but there's stations that that are called boots on the ground. With boots on the ground, what they used to do is they used to have a veteran center, like a food pantry and everything, though. So if you were a veteran that was hungry, you can go pick up food and stuff. And then every Tuesday night, we'd have like an activity night, and we would package up boxes and send them off to troops in Afghanistan and stuff like that. That's great. You know, so, you know, we used to do a lot of stuff like that, but I used to use like a lot of the physical events I did to, you know, raise funding for them. So the couple of things I did for them, so Thanksgiving of 2017, I filled up a rucksack with 45 pounds of canned goods. And I drove to Texas because I found this event called the Texas Quad, which is 4 marathons in 4 days. So I ran those 4 marathons, and then I came back. And, you know, the cans are more symbolic, though, because I fundraised. And the intent was to donate the cans back, but I didn't realize when the cans, like, shifted around in the rucksack, they were all, like, twisted in half and stuff like that. But I did end up raising $3,000 for the organization, so, you know, it helped them out. And then the second time I did a fundraiser for them was 2018, where I found this series in Florida called the Savage Seven, and that year they had them as 50Ks. So I ended up running 7 50Ks in 7 days with the American flag, and I raised money for them as well.
Okay.
That's so awesome. Get into how I hurt my hip now.
Okay.
So while I was running this Savage Seven series, this was about the time that David Goggins' book came out.
Okay.
So, you know, so I was listening to the audiobook Can't Hurt Me. While I was running those 7 50Ks in 7 days, I would go back to the hotel room, and I was listening to the book, and he was talking about how he was just like a regular guy that transformed himself into this monster, and he set a pull-up world record for the most pull-ups in 24 hours. So I started thinking to myself, I'm like, hey, I'm just a dude that can turn myself into a monster. Why don't I look at like some kind of world record I can break? So at the time I had about 10 100 mile ultra marathon finishes. So I was searching online, and I'm like, I wonder what the record is for the most 100 mile finishes in a year. So I found this guy, Ed Ittinghausen. He's nicknamed the Jester. He ran 100 miles 41 times in a year.
Wow.
So looked at that, and I'm like, I wonder if I could do something like that.
My knee hurts just thinking about that.
Yeah. Luckily, my knees are still good. I'll give it that. So that year, you know, I carried the American flag the entire, you know, because I've been carrying the American flag for every event I've done since 2015. But that year, I ended up running 100 miles 35 times in a 10-month period. So I finished 35 100-mile races, and I wore the cartilage out in my right hip. So, like, that. Right now, I walk around with a little bit of a limp. But even with that, last year, you know, my mom passed in 2022, so I wanted to do something kind of like as a dedication to honor her. So Spartan came out with this Unbreakable Pass.
Oh, yeah.
Which gives you access to, like, everything that Spartan owns, you know, Tough Mudder, Spartan, you know, Spartan's peak races, like, yeah, anything you want. Yep. So last year, the original and the intent was to break the trifecta world record. So the trifecta world record was kind of out of touch, and I had a couple of flight cancellations that kind of messed me up. But so I ended up going for the record for most Spartan trifectas by a male athlete. So last year, even on the bad hip, hobbling all over the place, I ended up getting 32 trifectas, and I was in like different countries.
Awesome.
So every weekend I was going like to some like far off, you know, and it was funny though too, though, because I was just doing like everything I could get my hands on. There was a summer run series at night locally at, you know, it was on Monday nights. And there was one weekend where I would run into some of my clients there, and they're like, wait a minute, weren't you just in Croatia this weekend? And I would be like, yeah, I flew back 2 hours ago.
Wow.
And you came straight here. I'm like, yeah.
Oh my God! Talk about determination. All right, we gotta give some final words.
So, okay.
You can share whatever you want to share.
Okay, so no, I didn't even have anything prepared for that. But
Nobody usually does.
now, well, if I did, yeah, well, I probably should like have something prepared for it because eventually I want to get into like speaking engagements and stuff like that, you
Oh,
know.
okay.
But I get, you know, like I guess you know, because I'm kind of like going well, if you remember, Nick was the one that referred me over to you. I'm kind of like going
Yes.
his route. I want to, you know, I want to work on like writing a book and stuff, but too. But yeah, I guess final words of encouragement as far as like from a fitness standpoint, you know, like the hardest part is just getting started, and then also like sticking with it though, because like the biggest thing about fitness is like if you're somebody that's never worked out, you have that initial hit, you know. And then after a little while, nothing happens. But something is happening. You know, internally you're changing, you're getting better, you know, like you know, so like let's say when you're doing cardio and stuff like that, if you're not burning fat right away, there's still stuff happening. Because like, okay, let's say you're doing nothing but walking on the treadmill or doing light, easy jogs. There's still some stuff happening at the physiological level. You're still getting more mitochondria in your muscles. You're still getting more, you know, like the process of angiogenesis where you're building new blood vessels and stuff like that. So you're layering down a foundation to the point where eventually your metabolic rate's going to pick back up and you're going to start losing weight. See, a lot, not to run off on a tangent here, but like, let's say somebody like me who like regularly like bulks up and cuts down, or like I might get out of shape, like let's say I'm about to do like some ultra marathon, so I might beef myself up and get fatter so I have extra fuel to run off of. But then when I'm done with it, I shred down real fast. Once you have that base, you can kind of go wherever you want, but like that initial like weight loss is always, you know, and a lot of people see that on social media, like especially with like let's say like I forget the guy's name though, but remember that Fit the Fat the Fit guy?
Yes.
Yeah, so let's
I don't
say if
remember
somebody,
his name. Go ahead.
yeah, I don't remember, but like, let's say somebody like him, he beefs himself up, gets like 70 pounds, which I actually did this first. I just didn't get the publicity because that's why my email, that's why my email Project Billy. I did this in 2009. I purposely gained weight and then shredded down.
Okay.
But now, you know, but like looking back at that, like somebody that's in the fitness, it's almost like a bad example because I have that base build. You know what I'm saying though? So like if somebody like me purposely goes out and bulks up and gets 70 pounds overweight, I can drop it in 3 months because I already have the mitochondrial density built up in my muscles. I already have, you know, the muscle mass is already there, so my metabolic rate's already boosted though. So it's not something that, you know, because I think a lot of times people see like these TV shows and stuff like The Biggest Loser, and it gives them like false hope that lose the weight immediately. So they go out there for like a couple of months. And then they give up. You know what I'm saying? But that's like the hardest part about it though, is the willingness to stick to something even when they're not seeing the changes, because even though those changes aren't being seen, there's still something happening there. You know what I'm saying? That's along the lines of what you said too. If you could tie a performance goal to it, weight loss should be the byproduct, but not like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it shouldn't be the only reason. Absolutely.
Yeah, there should always be something like tied to it, and then the weight loss will come with it. You know, the hardest part is just trusting the process and just believing that stuff will happen, but it will happen as long as you trust the process, as long as you keep going, and as long as you set the right goals. You know, and that's where you get into like SMART goals and stuff like that, you know, getting something that's specific, something that's measurable, something that's achievable, that's relevant, and that's timely. You know, like just, you know, like if you want to lose 100 pounds, instead of focusing on that 100 pounds, focus on like 5 pounds a month, or even on the extreme end, 10 pounds a month. I usually give people ranges. You know what I'm saying, though? That way, like if there's a bad weekend here and there, you know, shit happens. But you know, like at the, you know, but like at the same time, you know, it kind of, if you give ranges, it keeps them going though, because everybody's also a little bit different. So,
Very, very true. All right, well, thank you very much for taking the time to come and share, and thank you for your service as well.
thank you, and thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Don't sign off yet, though.
Okay.
All right. So I'll see you in a second. All right. That was Billy sharing his knowledge and expertise with everyone. I'll probably invite him back on for a panel, so you will definitely see him again. If you tuned in late, make sure you go back and watch the entire thing. And I'll be back with episode number 300 on Monday. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Shut Up and Grind. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. Robert has over 20 years experience pouring his knowledge and expertise at many events in the service and fitness industry, as well as secondary schools and universities. He has a true passion for helping others break through the barriers that are holding them back. To book Robert B. Foster to speak or to reach out, go to robertbfoster.com. Till next time, shut up and grind.